I'm Charles Edding from HR Harmer in New York City.
And I'm Michael Cortese of Noble Spirit in Pittsfield, New Hampshire.
And this is Conversations with Philatelists. Now, today's guest is one I'm excited about, and I think you are as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Today we are talking to Graham Beck of Exploring Stamps.
Which is one of the few YouTube channels dedicated to philately with a lot of success. He's really been sort of a pioneer. Everyone's always asking us, how can we get young people involved? How can we use technology and social media? Graham's done it. Graham has built up a sizable following on YouTube. His videos are very well received, very informative. And I think he's a really good model for how we can adapt philately to the modern era.
Right. What needs to be done? He helps bring people into the hobby and directs people to where they need to be looking.
We get a lot of people. You get people every day. We get people every day. So grandpa passed away. We inherited a collection. I don't think we really understand how many people go to YouTube or even through Google find his videos and come across him. He's a really important sort of torchbearer for the hobby, I think. And it'll be interesting to talk to him about that because, again, you and I know the ins and outs of the hobby. We don't think a lot of people probably just maybe they inherited a collection or they have some stamps from when they were a kid and they just want to go on YouTube and see if anybody else is talking about this. So he's an important, figure in the hobby, I think, in terms of getting people interested and drawing them in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I could not agree more. You said it perfectly.
And his videos are always very engaging. His Instagram and Twitter are very engaging. So I've never met him. I've never spoken to him, actually. And I don't believe you have either. So this will be fun. I anticipate that we'll have a really fun conversation with him.
Yeah, he seems very friendly. And he was very agreeable to meet up with us. Said yes almost the minute I asked.
Fantastic. Let's get him on here. Let's see what Graham's up to.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Good. How about yourself?
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been following you closely for a while now.
Oh, is that so? Okay. Yeah. That's really great. You guys don't mind if I have a cup of coffee while we chat, do you?
Not at all.
I've got mine right here as well, so we're okay. it's all good.
This is my coffee break, so it's a really good experience to have a chat with some philatelists during the midday grind, right?
Yeah.
I think we're all starved for that sort of communication with our peers. So no, it's great to have you on and great to chat.
Terrific. Thank you.
Yeah. So just to start off, I'd seen a couple other or listened to a couple other interviews. You'd been on the Jet Numismatics one. You started in 2016 with your channel?
That's right. 2016, I ventured into the YouTube world. I had very little experience with YouTube, very little experience with video production. I was very interested in it. But the key thing that triggered it was I had a very strong interest in philately, and I realized I had no understanding of it. I really didn't have knowledge about what philately entailed, what it meant. And I had rediscovered my childhood stamp album at that time and started to look online for information, mainly YouTube, where I learned a lot of other stuff and was disappointed at that point in time and thought maybe there's an opportunity here. But I was so excited just by opening up my stamp album and realizing that I didn't know a lot about it, but I could very quickly learn a lot about it in this modern age of smartphones and internet and how a simple Google search can take me down a path of discovery. So that's the genesis of it.
Mm-hmm. And if you're interested, if you're wanting to learn more, I think it's fair to assume that there's other people out there who are in the same boat, who they've got that childhood stamp collection or they travel to a foreign country and maybe mail themselves a letter. And it must be very rewarding for you because, again, I'm sure there's people every day who are in that same boat. They love philately, but they don't understand it yet. They don't they don't know a lot of the minutiae or the big picture. And that must be very rewarding for you to be able to take people on the same journey you've been on.
Absolutely. I find that I get emails and I get a lot of comments on YouTube that sound like I've written them. They're like, I opened up my stamp album, didn't know what this was. Thank goodness for your YouTube channel because it taught it to me at a level that I understand, because you can very quickly jump to expert material. and be very lost if you're coming from the beginner. I find there's a lot of content for children and there's a lot of content for experts. What about the person that rediscovers their album and goes, okay, I get the basics. How do I become an expert? And so I get quite a few comments that center around that. And maybe that was the gap. And like you said, I find that rewarding that there's other Grahams out there that are going, aha, this is an amazing hobby. Wow.
So do you find that's most of the people who watch or subscribe to your material is people who are getting back into the hobby?
I think that's the majority. That's just based on sentiment from the comments and right. So on. So I think based on that, I do see that there are extreme beginners and children and young adults, which is great. And that means my content seems to be working for them as well. And then I find the experts and old timers that come in and say, I know all this stuff already. This is great. But I like to see it presented. I like the discussions that are happening in the comments. And then being an expert, they can even provide additional value by providing more information. And did you know this? And have you looked over here? And then that's actually, I want to say about 30% of what I learn comes from the comment section, comes from those experienced philatelists that then put me on a binge on Google and looking elsewhere to find out more information. So yeah, it's a win-win thing.
That was going to be one of my other follow-up questions was where do you have a place that you generally look for information, or where are you finding the topics? I'd seen you talked about how you pick your next topic, right? You just go through your stamps essentially, but how are you researching them once you pick them? Is there a specific place you go, or are you just typing into Google?
This is what I have. It starts with Google. I find that's the best way. So one of the things that I found interesting is that if I avoid the stamp communities and start with my own fresh Google search, I might come up with a spin and angle that is new and interesting. Mm-hmm. So I start with a Google search. It may take me into stamp forums, may take me to reach out to the APS library and get assistance. I may end up watching a couple movies, documentaries, read two books, and eventually come up with a five-page script that I try to lean down to something that makes sense. And that's the hardest part. So I can find a lot of information. But then how do you make it into just the right amount of information and just the right parts to inspire somebody to go look up more about it and not be disappointed and to not bore them if it's too long, right?
Something that I think is interesting, because we're all in the same generation, arguably. That was a dig at Michael. but we're all about the same age. And I feel like a lot of people who didn't grow up with social media, YouTube, the internet in general, I don't know if you guys have a similar experience, but they often come to me and say, oh, the future of the hobby, the solution to any of the hobby's problems is a Facebook page or a YouTube channel or an Instagram page. And I feel like there's this assumption or this idea that it's really easy to tap into social media with stamps, but there's very few people who have been able to leverage, and I'm going to lump YouTube in with social media right now.
Yeah.
There's been very few people who are able to leverage that into any sort of success. I would say that, you know, there's a lot of local stamp clubs that have their Facebook page and that's great. But I feel like it's more difficult than it seems to, again, there's a lot of people who have not grown up with technology like we have. How have you been able, what are the difficulties, what are the successes of integrating philately with modern technology? Because again, a lot of people sort of view it as this magic cure-all. Oh, we just put stamps on Facebook and then we get all these new members for our society. And it's not that easy. Again, there's very few people like yourself who have been able to have any amount of success with this. What has that experience been like?
I appreciate that. Yeah. So I put up my first two videos and nobody watched it. It was incredible. I thought like, hey, you put up a video of stamp collecting. There must be thousands of people typing that phrase in stamp collecting in the search bar and just going, there he is. And I want to watch this. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen overnight. You got to find a formula that works. So you could just shoot this, your desk with stamps and talk about it. But if that's going to be your approach, then you make sure that you're addressing an audience that makes sense, right? Maybe that's an expert audience. Maybe that's an audience who just wants to go for the details. And then you got to work your magic through networking and through building up a reputation. But when I launched my videos, I realized that I have to, this is not an overnight thing, that I need to reach out into multiple different social media avenues. And that there's a real strong sense of community, which I think goes across all niches and all hobbies, that you have to build a following and build a community and become trusted. And people, I think I've read a number of articles where it can take you 7 years to really establish yourself over time. It was, I think, particularly more difficult for me when I started. There was nobody else that I could leverage on the YouTube planet. I could jump into the Facebooks if I wanted to. I could jump into Instagram. There were lots of, you could call influencers there. There's Twitter, and start working your way through the network. I was very lonely on the YouTube planet. And so what if I was starting a sneaker YouTube channel, I could leverage and work with the thousands of channels. If I was doing makeup or video games or something along those lines, there's a community there already, and you just have to start working your way into it. In the YouTube world, I didn't have that luxury, but I had the luxury of an established Instagram and Twitter sphere that I could work amongst and build and bring traffic in. And over time, it starts to build and you get the ball rolling. But to your point, it's not a magic pill. It's not, you don't just throw up a Facebook page and gain popularity and some kind of traffic. I think that's actually it's a good warning too, right? You're not going to save your club if you're just going to throw up a Facebook page and walk away. You need to give it some solid attention and don't just think of it as a 3-week plan or we're going to get this thing going. Build in a 5-year plan. Just go, this is how we're going to do it. And we're going to build over time.
It's like organizing a show or developing an exhibit or any of these. Again, you're right. That I think in the social media generation, there's this instant gratification and this assumption that if you build it, they will come. But you're right. It takes just as much dedication and perseverance as any other facet of it. This is a hobby that demands patience and attention to detail and all of these things. And that doesn't disappear when you switch over into the virtual realm.
Right. And things mold and change too. Speaking of, you're changing the way that you do videos now. You're doing a new channel can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I ran a course of, say it's 4 years, with a formula. I tried, investigate stamp, take me on a journey, come up with a story around it, and so on. And I had some success with it. I had a lot of unsuccess, or lack of success, you could say, around it. And it was a formula. It was the formula I tried from day one. Now with COVID, I needed to find an office for my own job, right? And this is it. It's in the works. I've claimed my stamp studio. That's where the bookshelves went, right? And I've given a nice paint job. I've got my desk. I'm working here. I'm moving some things around. I'll bring the bookshelves back in and get the floor done this weekend. But I needed a different space. I needed a space that I can cohabitate with my job. And that inspired me to say, let's change up the show. It's gotten, I think it's run its course for now. Let's try something that is a lot more, lower in scale in terms of my time and energy, but leverages the online philatelic community and can somehow gain more interaction. So my goal with the show, we're calling it just hashtag philately, is going to be more in a vlog format, more of me talking interacting with the viewers and the people on social media and so on. I get a lot of letters. I get a lot of items in the mail. I want to be able to show that off. I want to be able to talk about a current topic. Why this one stamp got issued here? Why did Iceland stop issuing stamps? Let's have a conversation about it. And then that, which was to me one of the coolest things about my interaction, my channel, my three seasons, was that interaction with people and the experts chipping in and giving some advice and so on. I want to be able to be wrong so that I can not focus on the script and the research so much, that I can ask you now, correct me if I'm wrong. And then let's talk about it. And let's give a shout out to everybody in their society. There's this guy from this society. He says this. Look him up. Somebody is sharing something from the UK. Let's look at them up. There's a virtual stamp show. Let's go visit it together. So it's a little more casual and a little more focused on that experience of interacting with everyone.
And sounds more current too. Are you going to be releasing things like week of, or it sounds like a lot less prep?
Yeah, it's a lot less prep. I haven't yet done this pilot. I want to do the pilot and launch that very soon. So to be decided. It could be weekly, and maybe it's just as things go. Maybe I shoot it out every week, take a 2-week break due to craziness, whatever I need to deal with, and then shoot another one out. Also, it might not be a success. We'll find out. I'm not afraid to fail. And if people don't like it, well, that's fine. Maybe I can reinvent myself from there.
Can you talk a little bit about your own personal collecting interests? Your show covers so many various subjects.
Yeah.
If you're at a show, when we can all go to shows again, what is it that you're looking for? What are you, again, where, because again, you watch all these episodes and you're geographically all over the place, chronologically all over the place, or are you an equal opportunist? Is there anything in particular that you're looking to focus in on?
Yeah, I'm a mess. I'm a complete mess. And
in a good way.
In a good way, yeah, I guess so, because it's given me so much exposure to so many different elements of philately. And every time I do an episode would teach me about an element of philately or angle of philately, from Perfins to studying World War II stamps, right? So it's left my collection nonsensical. It's all over the place. What I have done to kind of ground myself when it comes to go to stamp shows is that I do have two topics that I, from a topical standpoint, it's something I can at least focus on and enjoy. So I have two topics. I go for rhinos because I'm involved in a rhino sanctuary that I work with, and then cricket, a sport that I've loved since growing up and keep current. So those are my two topics. And I can always go ahead and keep building on that and get various covers and various stamps that are issued each year and all that. So that's my focus. But then I'm very easily persuaded to go anywhere when there is some awesome piece of postal stationery. And so, yeah, when I walk in the door, the dealers see my face. They go, "This is a sucker. We got to get this guy. Come here, boy."
Have you noticed any sort of uptick in involvement, in viewership, in people reaching out to you since the virus broke out? Because this is really tailor-made for digital participation in the hobby. This is, you were providing a product already that a lot of societies and clubs, everyone was trying to crank out the Zoom meetings, the YouTube videos and everything. You were already there. You were sort of waiting with open arms for what people needed at this time. Have you noticed an uptick in the response from people?
Yeah, it was kind of funny, and I'd say that in a non-humorous way. When the virus was hitting Europe in particular and Italy hard at the very beginning, I was getting a lot of Italians. I was getting a lot of people throughout Europe emailing me, and suddenly an uptick in comments, right? And I thought that was interesting. It made a lot of sense. As the US went into lockdown, I got a number of comments that then picked up saying, "I've rediscovered my albums because I'm in lockdown." And I'm working my way through the series. And you see that. You see, what is funny to watch is that somebody finds the channel from one random video somewhere. They provide a comment, and then they start commenting through the series. And it might take 2-3 days, and you basically watching the progress of their comments, saying like, I loved season two. I'm looking forward to season three. Great. And then all of a sudden, season three, episode three is a comment. And so you watch them follow. So I guess that I have seen an uptick versus pre-COVID. Absolutely.
So this new show, is this something that you just kind of thought of on your own, or did you poll some of your subscribers? If there was one question you could poll your subscribers, what do you think it would be? That was kind of a two-part question.
Yeah, so there were lots of comments, and there were a lot of comments saying that we want to see what is current. We want to talk about, you know, a particular event. Did you see my country stopped issuing stamps about the Olympics? You know, can we address that now? And I didn't have the ability to respond immediately. I'll have in form of a video. So that has tied my hands behind my back throughout the start to where I am today. I haven't been able to provide that.
You're working within a fixed structure, yeah, more or less.
Exactly.
You're...
The formula held me. It held me with my hands behind my back, right? And so if somebody corrected me, for instance, I couldn't then address the correction in an upcoming video. And that holds you back quite a bit. So that longing to have something that was better suited or better response, or being able to provide a reaction to the comments and so on, that's always been there. And that I thought was cool. If I was to poll everybody, I think I would poll them several weeks from now when I've launched the video and say, is this what you want versus the standard formula? I know that there's a lot of people that say that they love the pulling a stamp out at random and going on an adventure. And maybe I can somehow incorporate that into the new format. New format's going to definitely mature. It's going to evolve as I get started. If it's a success, we'll continue it. But I would want to pull them then. I don't know what I would ask them right now.
Right.
How do you see your show interacting with physical stamp shows moving forward? What is the crossover between the virtual? I'm sure you must get recognized at stamp events.
Yeah, and I saw that you did a video where you went to a stamp event.
Right.
Show.
Yeah, two stamp events that I went to. That were technically, you could say, that my two real big stamp events that I've ever been to was initially Stampex 2018, maybe, and then the American Stamp Show, the APS Stamp Show, and both of them I was able to do a bit of a spin. So the first one, Stampex, was primarily focused on stamp art and using Stampex as a wonderful backdrop for filming more about it. And that worked really well. The stamp show here in the US was a great way to introduce people to stamp show. You know, what do you do at a stamp show? I didn't even know properly. And so I was able to work with the APS, get some instruction to move forward. I think it could be even cooler with a different kind of show that can interact with the audience. I think I could show up and tackle certain things, know that there's a certain dealer out there that I can talk to, get some behind-the-scenes stuff, pivot in that video 180 and do something else. I could even get my audience, if they are showing up to the stamp show, to bring and show and tell me something, right? I could be like, if you're going to be there, come to my booth, if I have one, and bring, and maybe that's a segment. What do you got? Almost, you know, there are segments out there, like in various shows, right?
Almost like an anti-show show, exactly.
An anti-show show, right? And it could just be a small segment. Bring in the best thing you want to show me. And you have to keep it to a two-minute spiel and impress me. And so I could take it in so many different directions if I have no self-made rules, you know, how the formula works.
It would be a great mix of the virtual and the physical components. I think it would be a nice crossover.
Absolutely. I'm going to see how it works with the virtual Stampex this year. So it's entirely virtual in this case, and I have a few ideas around it. I'm looking forward to explore, but I am in contact with the PTS, and they're trying to get me some backdoor access. So they're like, you can see it several days before, which will be great. And maybe I can introduce my audience to it. Hey, look, this is what it looks like. This is my little booth. This is how you sign up. And let's take it from there. So we'll play it by ear.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got a lot of subscribers, almost 15,000. That's a lot more than a lot of some of the collectors clubs. Do you feel kind of I don't know if responsibility is the right word, but to direct them into the right areas?
Yeah, definitely. So the more subscribers I have, it really comes down to more and more comments I start to get and the more interaction. And unfortunately, I can't answer all my emails. There's a lot. And I can't answer all the direct messages and Twitter and Instagram. It becomes a little overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, it's help. I inherited a collection. What do I do? After you get past that, it comes down to where do I go? I'm located here. Who do I meet?
Right.
I'm trying to find out more about this. And then I'm scrambling to try to find the answer for them. And so that's why some of the videos came to be. Inherited a stamp collection was a video. The recent videos on what should you put, what do you store your stamps in? Tweezers, tongs, you know? People are asking me these questions, and I'm hopefully able to provide them a link versus me having to explain anything. So
you must be the first philatelist. You know, again, somebody goes on YouTube and searches stamp collecting. You're like the first philatelist that they meet. And again, responsibility, obligation, whatever it is, you're a steward for the hobby in your role with these videos. Again, a lot of people probably, you're the first link they have with someone who knows what they're doing.
Those videos, the most valuable stamps and inherited stamp collection, I looked last night, they've got like 172,000, 150,000 views on that. That's massive from it's just the people out there who are looking at stamps, whether or not they're collectors, and directing them to the correct places. Have you gotten a lot of contacts that way with whether it be dealers or experts or someone appraising collections? Do you find yourself, you know, you said you can't answer all of them. You can't direct everyone who's inherited a collection, but have you made connections that way?
Yeah. And not as much as I would have liked to, unfortunately. I tend to get to your point. I somehow become the first interaction for I would say first responder. No, it's the first. I don't know. We'll come up with a term for it, right? The first encounter, right? I'm the first encounter for a lot, and they tend to be that beginner, curious me showing up. I don't get too many contacts from the expert end, although it does happen from time to time when I hit their topic on the head. So if I'm talking about stamps from Brazil, I will get a comment or two from a Brazilian philatelist or someone along those lines who will then provide a little bit of I can use them as a contact for somebody else who says, hey, have you seen anyone who can provide information, deeper information about the Brazilian bullseyes? And then I'll be able to go right ahead and say, here's someone. It happens very seldom. And I wish I was able to just grab a Rolodex of useful names that I could just whip out for any question that comes my way. But I do have a very few set of contacts.
Yeah. And so how I see the clip at the beginning of your video says you're not sponsored by, but you're partnered with the APS. Do they help you in that? Do you direct people to the APS?
Yeah, a lot. So even before I was sponsored, so the sponsorship happened and it ended this month. So it was an August to August 2019 to 2020 run, right? And in that agreement, it was that I was going to extend, finish my season and provide some additional videos and see how this goes. no STEM society has really done a sponsorship on YouTube. This is all experimental. Yeah. Scott English was fantastic. He reached out to me, and we came up with agreement. The key part of that sponsorship really was that I'm going to provide this card up front and acknowledge the APS. And that is also the benefit to me, is that I've got this card in the front that says APS, right? Which gives me some credibility. And so the APS has taken a risk on saying that this guy is part of what we're trying to do. And so it's a tremendous amount of, I have a tremendous amount of respect for them for going this route. I did reach out to them for some assistance as we went along. So if I couldn't find information, I may have reached out. If I needed some polling happening on Facebook or something that they could maybe get behind and push out to a larger audience, they would help. That would help with promotion of my videos during each launch and so on. So it was very beneficial for both of us. I like to think so. But I would very first upfront encourage somebody to the APS when they came with a question that was related. Should I join a society? Yep, do the APS. They're thinking ahead. They've sponsored me. They're you know, try them out. And so that's where that went.
Sort of a cliche question, but one which I'm sure all three of us have heard many times. If a young person wants to get into the hobby, but he feels intimidated or it's difficult for a young person to become a part of the hobby. Yeah. What do you tell them? What's the advice you have to somebody? Whether again, tons of children collect, whether it's part of a boy or girl scout badge or whatnot, but there's that gap before you get to middle age when a lot of people come back into the hobby. If you're a teenager, a 20, 30 something year old who wants to get into Philately, what do you think the most important advice for them to hear is? I know it's a tough one, but it's something that, you know, I sort of feel like the three of us have a responsibility for that next generation of collectors.
It's a tough one. I'll tell you, I was incredibly intimidated to go to a stamp shop. I didn't know what I was doing. It would look obvious that I was clueless, right? And I had no focus and I had no understanding behind anything. So that it's first thing is I empathize with him tremendously. You can't walk in and not feel intimidated. I don't want to sound like I'm promoting myself, but I would say watch those videos.
It's nice to have someone relatable, somebody who's young and normal.
Look at this guy on YouTube. He also doesn't have a clue. And if you watch all these videos, he's figuring it out. And then you might know enough to feel confident to walk into a stamp shop. So that's just a small plug that I unintentionally have to say that mm-hmm. What else can you do? If you have somebody in your sphere of network and friendship that actually is a stamp collector, you have to piggyback off them. It's like going to a casino for the first time. If you didn't know anything, you go sit at a table, you'll be confused, right? You would need somebody as part of it to show you, no, don't do that. You can do this. It's fine to do that. It's also okay, now that I've gone to a stamp show, it is okay to walk in and be a beginner. So I would give that advice that although it's intimidating, walk in and give it a go. Tell them that you're a beginner and go with it. I'd say that with caution, though, because I have found the odd dealer to be discouraging towards the beginner or somebody who's not going to be spending a lot of money. That's unfortunate. I have experienced it. But I liked what the APS did at the One Step Show. They had, I don't know if it's true if they do, they had like a beginner-friendly tag on a number of scans.
Uh-huh.
If I knew that at the time, I would have, go do that. Go hit all those tagged beginner-friendly because you can't walk in the line of fire with something else and they'll discourage you and run away.
Because for every maybe intimidating, discouraging dealer, I think there's at least two or three who are willing to take you under their wing. Again, without naming names, there was a dealer early on who he could tell I had no idea what I was doing, and he would let me come behind his booth, and he would actually let me help people. Hey, what are you looking for? And I started sort of working for him. And I guess that was unpaid labor in retrospect, as I tell this story. But a lot of the dealers are willing to put that time into nurturing a new collector. So it does help. Again, I think that tag is a great way of knowing, you know, who bites and who doesn't, maybe.
Do they have that at all stamp shows?
I haven't seen that outside of the APS. I think it was only that one APS show that I saw it at. But it's certainly something that should be adopted elsewhere, I think.
Yeah, and then advertised, like, come and be a beginner and try this. You know, also have a booth right up front saying, "Are you a beginner? Let me show you the ropes. Mm-hmm. Go see all this. Everybody from this side of the room is awesome. Everybody in this side of the room."
Stay away.
Yeah.
Yeah. The YPLF booths, the Young Philatelic Leaders Fellowship, should be pushed more towards the forward shows to encourage or make comfortable more the youth walking in.
I can't agree more. That first set of booths need to be incredibly welcoming and encouraging and exciting, mm-hmm. right? You walk in, you got to get, that's your one moment to grab them and then take it from there. Yeah. Also, what I think will improve, we need more content online. I can't be the only guy on YouTube, and I'm not anymore, thankfully, but I can't be the only person there. We need to have a lot more content. What you guys are doing is fantastic. So the reason to talk to people, to make philatelists actually have a personality or reveal their personality, have a discussion, and also show that, hey, I'm a philatelist, but I'm clearly not that deep into the hobby yet. I'm still learning. I'm figuring things out. That this is a practice. I'm learning as I go. People need to see that. And if they go online and they can spend several hours looking for more information on philately and come across conversations with philatelists, other YouTube channels, that'll just break down all those concepts, those barriers, those beliefs that this is an intimidating hobby.
And I think you're right that there's sort of these two extremes of the very beginner, what is a postage stamp, and the very advanced, you know, looking at recuts or double entries and things like that for the expert. And there is that huge void of stamp-related content that is engaging and exciting is the perfect word you use, and relatable. And I think that's a really, I'd never really thought about it that way, but when you say it, it's a perfect point to make that, again, there's this whole spectrum between the two extremes that really needs to be explored.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see it all the time at a stamp show, right? You've got the kids section and there's a kids section, and then right outside the kids section, which is pure expert level going on. You need a buffer. You need a buffer. You need somebody to be able to hold the kid's hand and be able to walk them into the progress of becoming a so-called expert philatelist. Yeah. So there's a void, and with a void comes an opportunity for more content and for more people to be trying this, and blogs, social media, Instagram accounts, videos, podcasts, you name it. Make it and be part of this growing movement of philately online, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you help people get there, get to that expert level, it'll help maintain the number of participants in the hobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing for dealers and other people involved in the hobby. It's very selfish to want to nurture, to lead people from the beginning to the expert. Because if we don't do that, it's up to us and up to the dealers and up to the show organizers. If we don't do it, there's going to be no hobby for us to take part in a couple of decades.
Yeah,
yeah, and I, that's usually the answer I give to where do you see this hobby in the future. And I like to say I have a very positive look on how the future is going to be, especially what we've seen with virtual participation in the last several months. But there's a caveat. It would be irresponsible for us to not recognize that if we don't actually put significant effort behind it, it could easily fall behind. It could easily go backwards. It could easily vanish. So the level of effort, a commitment, go online, post stuff, share, tag stuff, create stuff. And that's why I'm very happy that this kind of form that you guys have put together really does that as well. It really dismantles that philatelist has no personality perspective.
Right. We were hoping to do was bring a level of humanity to the atmosphere,
which is fantastic. So I'm very supportive of this channel. I love it.
Thank you so much.
Well, hey, we're supportive. We love what you've done, and we're really excited to see what you've got planned for the future. I think that this this more timely current concept that you have is. He really has a lot of potential. I can't wait to watch personally.
Yeah.
Great. So I have two viewers. That's so far. All right.
For a stamp YouTube channel, that's pretty good, I would say.
It's a start. It's excellent. It's excellent. Tell your friends.
Absolutely. And once it gets up and running, we'd love to circle back around and check in. Once you've got some episodes under your belt, let's do like we've done with a couple of people, let's get you back on. We can hear what worked. We can hear what didn't work. We can hear where things are going. I would love to, again, check back in and you know, right now we're at the ground level of this new show. Let's see where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's fantastic. And then, of course, I could leverage you guys as well. Since it's fairly current, I could be, let's go see what Charles and Michael are up to, right? And that's it. And that is the basis. It's the fundamental of creating a community.
Yeah.
A rising tide lifts every episode. I'm going to say this literally every interview. I've said that a rising tide lifts all boats, but you're right. That's where the social media, the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter, the YouTube comes in. Like, we've all got to be on the same page. We've all got to take care of one another.
Absolutely. Grow together.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us here and taking your time out. I know in addition to what you're doing, I'm sure you have a full-time job as well, it sounds like. So thank you for taking time away out of your busy schedule to help.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for giving me an excuse to take a break from work and have a coffee with a couple of awesome philatelists. So
anytime.
Fantastic.
This has been fun. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Absolutely. You can count me in. I definitely want to be back.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
That was great. That was a lot of fun.
That was fantastic. That was very upbeat, very energetic. Just the kind of conversation I like to have, you know, especially in times of COVID. I feel like you need that positive energy in the hobby. You need to put good things out there so you get good things in return.
Yeah, he definitely has it. He definitely has the it factor when it comes to positivity and
I think it's great for people to see that somebody young and normal and engaging and energetic is a stamp collector. I think that's
and self-admitted himself. He just discovered an album out of a closet, his childhood album, picked it up. And said, I'm just going to look up what these are and look where he is now. Look what he's doing. He's engaging other people.
I love how honest he is about how far. He's obviously come a long way since his first video, but he's very open and honest and realistic about he doesn't know everything. He doesn't know. He's learning with the viewer, which I think is really fun. It's not an expert talking down to you.
Of course.
I know everything about stamps. Let me impart this on you. I've got a question. I don't know what the heck I'm doing.
Yeah.
Let's learn together. And I think that's a really fun.
That's important too, because there's with stamps, there's so many books. There's so many places to start. Exactly.
What do you mean?
What he was saying is you pick up a stamp and there's five different angles you could attack it from. So I think a unique perspective on...
You don't even have to attack the stamp. You can make a video about it as well.
Exactly, yeah. You could treat it with respect and put it in an album.
But I think he really... He holds your hand and makes it easy to get more involved. You have to have that spark on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But then where do you go? I think his videos are the perfect next step to take.
Yeah, they're dealing with that middle target demographic that he was exactly talking about, right?
I that's something it makes perfect sense when you hear it. I'd never heard it elaborated that way, though.
Yeah.
And that's something that was my biggest takeaway from our conversation with him.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that he's got 15,000 subscribers. These are the people who want to hear about stamps day in, day out. You know, they're interested.
Outside of the APS and maybe one or two other organizations, that makes his following one of the largest.
Yeah.
You've got Lynn Stamp News and the APS.
Partnered with Dana in our last interview, I think she said the ASDA has got about 15,000. So his individual following.
Exactly. He's already broken through and made it to that point.
Right.
That a lot of organizations strive for. He has a lot of clout and a lot of influence.
And of course, there's the caveat that no one's paying to subscribe. You know, it's not the exact same thing, but it's the following is there. The people are as legitimate as
his reach is comparable to a major philatelic organization, and that's
the best way of putting it.
That has to be respected, and hats off to him for
He's done an incredible thing here.
He really blazed his own trail, and I can't wait to talk to him again in the future. Can't wait to see his new show.
Yep.
Maybe he'll have us on, fingers crossed. But that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was excellent. That was a great interview, and I'm really glad we had him on in one of the first early interviews that we've done.
Absolutely. So for people listening, well, I guess if they're listening, they don't need to know where to go to listen to us. But
well, other people say it.
If you're on YouTube, you can also hear us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean.
And?
Spotify.
Spotify. Officially
Spotify Podcasts.
Spotify.
Now that we have done more than a few episodes. So all the major podcast platforms, our email is philatelypodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, it is.
You can get in touch with us through that.
Again, I know I mentioned it in an earlier episode, but we're here to talk to people. So if you want to talk to us, just reach out.
I think, Michael, what you're saying is you want a new co-host to replace.
Really, if we could find someone else other than Charles, please.
Yeah. Be more engaging. please reach out to us. I would love for that email to light up. I think that would be fun to hear from people. And I love, Michael, when you send me, you obviously spend a lot more of your work day on Twitter and Instagram than I do.
Of course.
I'm busy running off. But whenever you send me that somebody mentions us in a forum or a tweet or something, it always makes me really happy that people seem to be responding well to this. So please reach out to us. We'd love to.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that all the screenshots I've been sending you actually bring you joy.
Thank you. The ones about us do.
Yeah.
again, listen to us on all the major podcast platforms.
Yes.
YouTube, philatelypodcast@gmail.com. This was fun. I think next week's episode will be fun as well.
Yes.
Can't tell people what it is quite yet, but we're working on it, and we'll have something exciting for you guys very soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the time this episode airs, hopefully I will have returned home from Serbia.
Yeah, stay safe out there.
Not to make the podcast too personal, but I'm headed to Serbia for a non-philatelic trip. But they do have a postal museum in Serbia.
Mm-hmm. I think it's okay if we make it personal. I mean, that's kind of what the whole point is.
That's true. I thought it was for other people. I didn't think that applied to ourselves.
Oh, fair. We technically haven't interviewed each other.
Next time we talk, I'm going to report back on the Serbian Postal Museum.
That'll be fun.
Probably not on par with the Smithsonian National Postal Museum or the Cardinal Spellman Museum.
Right.
But
we should give them some credit. We'll see what it's.
I was going to say, maybe we can even cut together like a little slideshow of pictures of me at the Serbian Postal Museum.
That'd be great.
For the two people who would want to see that, you and my girlfriend, who will have been taking the pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll report back on that next time we talk.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, this is Conversations with Philatelists. I'm Charles Epting.
Michael Cortese.
And
we'll see you next time.